I, Albert Benjamin Simpson, was awakened in the middle of the night, trembling with a strange and solemn sense of God's overshadowing presence and power. On my mind was burning the remembrance of a strange dream. In my dream, I was sitting in a vast auditorium. Thousands of people were around me, wringing their hands in mute anguish. And on their faces was an expression that I can never forget. As I woke with that vision on my mind, I threw myself on my knees, and with every fiber of my being answered, "Yes, Lord, I will go. I will minister your word to a lost and dying world, and to the saints of your care."
So send I you, by grace made strong to triumph, o'er host of hell, or darkness, death, and sin.
Lord, it's starting out to be a brutal day. Brutal! What next? My car is dead, that's what! Dead! And me, all alone here, on this desolate road, on this desolate mission field, and now without a car! I have to be able to get around. How am I gonna pick up supplies? For the radio station! This makes me question my future here, Lord. Why did you send me here to Africa? Why did you send me here to start a Christian radio station? I wonder what they're doing back at home now. It's, let's see, 10:30? So, probably 7:30 over there. In the evening. Ah, South Carolina. Home. I can see it now. Cool evening breeze in the foothills, and the sun's gone down, and here. It's early morning, but already the sun's overpowering, like a blast furnace. Oh, Lord, I know I shouldn't feel this way, but Lord, sometimes serving you, it's just not easy.
To bear my name, and in that name to conquer. So send I you my victory to win.
Dear Lord, watch over Buddy, and give me the strength to go on for you today. As frequently happens here in Peru, we're without electricity for a good part of the day. If only Buddy were here. There's unrest in the city. Government officials have been striking, and violence is on the rise. The last time this happened, they burned many of the buildings in protest. Buddy, my husband, is in the jungle, teaching and preaching the word of God to a group of tribal leaders. And I'm here, caring for our little son, as well as preparing Bible lessons for child evangelism and women's Sunday school services. Lord, you have brought us here, to Puerto Maldonado, to serve you. Sometimes I wonder, even with all my training, my preparation, and my prayer, was I really equipped for the harsh realities of being a missionary? Lord, watch over us as we serve thee.
So send I you to take to those in bondage the word of truth that sets the captive free.
Today I graduate. What would God have for me to do? Maybe he wants me to be a missionary. Maybe he would have me to serve him as a housewife and mother. Perhaps he has some other special work for him. This I know for sure. I must submit to his will and way and seek his face. He will show me what I should do for him.
To break the bonds of sin, to loose death's fetters, so send I you to bring the lost to me.
My mother never had the opportunity to be a missionary, although that was her heart's desire. It was I, Mabel Francis, that God chose to go. And so it was that in 1909, I sailed for Japan with 3 gingham dresses, a knife, a fork, and a spoon, some books, a picture of my family, and a very special treat, a tin of Baker's cocoa. For 53 years, Japan was to be my place of service for Christ. the Japanese people became my people. Many have asked if it was my love for the Japanese people that made me stay in Japan all those years. I tell them that the reason was not that I loved the Japanese, but that God loved them. This, after all, was the call of God on my life.
So send I you my strength to know in weakness, my joy in grief, my perfect peace in pain.
Do I sense a change in attitude? At the Christian education banquet at church tonight, I sense that somehow something has changed. There's a lot of gray hair, mine included. But it seems like each year, there are fewer of the younger generation supporting Christian education. Hopefully I'm wrong, but I can't see the same commitment to Christian education as back when I began teaching. Is Christian education, once so cherished, being lost?
To prove my power, my grace, my promised blessing, so send I you eternal fruit to gain.
On days like today, I am very aware of my need for prayer support. I am ever more conscious that I cannot function alone. I quickly found in my ministry that my dependency must be upon Christ. If I am to be effective as a pastor, I also need those at home, ministering, praying, supporting, and encouraging. Impress upon them, Father, how important they are in carrying out your will in obedience to the Word of God.
So send I you to bear my cross with patience, and then one day with joy to lay it down.
Today is my last day. Seems only yesterday I came here as a new missionary. 39 years of ministering and being ministered to here in Mexico. God has been so good. My health has required me to return to the States, and I wonder about the future of missions. Is mission still a priority in the hearts of those in the pew? Will the support be there tomorrow, 20 years from now, if our Lord tarries? I have a ministry still. Where I am returning, they want me to teach Sunday school in the local church, and the apartment building where I shall live has a number of women who need to hear the gospel. But who will take my place here, though?
To hear my voice, well done, thou faithful servant. Come share my throne, my kingdom, and my crown.
Let us, with God's blessing, serve him with all our being. And this church has a divine pattern. Just as the tabernacle of old was to be constructed strictly according to the pattern that was shown to Moses on the Mount, so the church, which is Christ's body, has a divine plan and purpose, and should be, in every particular, constructed accordingly.
Lord, I pray that you will keep my husband and I faithful to thee as we serve thee here in Peru. Physical needs, yes, but even more, the great spiritual needs. Father, sometimes I find myself accepting, even condoning the lostness of these people. Father, give me bigger shoulders to carry on the work you have for me.
As a radio missionary, I have firsthand knowledge of how easily the devil works to discourage. From rearing my children in a foreign land, to keeping this Christian radio station on air, there is much work to be done. My prayer is that those at home would never lose the knowledge of their service to uphold us in prayer before God's throne of grace. It is a service that is most needed and most appreciated.
God has been so good. He has always provided. Perhaps now that I return home from active service, this may be my new mission field. Yes, perhaps I am back home that others may be free to go and take my place. I shall no longer go, but I shall continue to serve.
I recall, years ago, how my mother prayed for me to serve God with my life. God called me to teach for 42 years as a Christian school teacher. Oh, how we need the younger generation to submit to God's call and take their place in Christian education.
The proclamation of the Word of God is a holy calling, but it is also a wonderful calling. Preach the Word, Paul told Timothy. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry. Lord, help me to serve, as did Timothy.
God knows how great were the needs as I served, and God knows that the needs grow greater each day.
We are the servants of the Most High God, and we believe and follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We serve Christ because we can do no other.
What an opportunity lies before my classmates and myself. Will we serve faithfully the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or will we serve only ourselves?
As the Father hath sent me, so send I you.
It's our privilege today to have with us Pastor Oscar Coggin. He pastors the Pine Street Baptist Church in Farmville, North Carolina. Our hearts have been knit together over the past few years as we have come to know this man. He loves the Lord, seeks to honor the Lord Jesus Christ with his life, and has given himself to the preaching and teaching of God's Word. And it's our privilege today to have him come and give the commencement message from God's Word, and we trust that you'll listen carefully to every word that he has to say. Brother, would you come?
It is a privilege to be here with you today, and I have already received a blessing by being in this service today already. The drama spoke to my heart, and I thought as these young people were presenting the things of God to us, how can we do what we do apart from the Lord? I think of these three singers. Now, I don't know these dear people, but I know before them there is a wonderful life. And I don't mean in the sense of the world either. I mean in the sense of serving God with all of your hearts. The door is open. The need is great. And the question you'll ask yourself when you leave here today, and I'm sure it's already been upon your heart, is what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? And what am I going to be? And you know, today, your life truly will change. It really will. Your life will not be the same after today as you leave this place. But what will you take from this place? Will you take all of the things that you have learned? And will you make application in your life? But I think the most important question you can ask yourself is, do I love my God? Am I willing to give my heart in full surrender to go where he'd have me to go? And last night, I had the privilege to be with the junior senior class, and it was a blessing. It was an honor for me to see these young people and their hearts. Matter of fact, I told my wife last night as we were preparing to retire, I says, what a difference Christ makes in the heart. And I spoke to the junior senior about a man in the Old Testament by the name of Jonathan. Now, we don't hear many messages preached about dear Jonathan, because Jonathan is a man in the Scriptures that is overshadowed by David. And what a tremendous man David was. He was God's man. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. And that's what I want in my life. And yet, dear young people, you have your life in front of you. And you need to be men and women after the heart of God. And God can use you. And we need young people today that are willing to give their lives to the service of the Lord. Jonathan was that type of man. Matter of fact, our text says today that was read earlier that Jonathan arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. We need some young people today to go and strengthen the hand of others in the name of God. But before Jonathan could go and strengthen David's hand, and David was in great peril. He was fleeing for his life. Saul was hot after him. Saul had now purposed in his heart that he was going to kill David at all costs. Saul was eaten up by jealousy and envy. And yet, dear Jonathan, Saul's own son, was going to strengthen David's hands in the things of God. And we need men and women that are willing to go and strengthen others in the things of the Lord, to give of their life. And you know what, folks? That's not pie in the sky. We live in an age that says you go and you live for yourself. You go and please yourself. You go and do things that will promote self. You go and do things and gain things and you conquer the world for self. And yet, that is not what God desires of our heart. And folks, listen, there's nothing wrong with working. We should work. The Bible teaches a good work ethic. There's nothing wrong with engineers and doctors and so forth. We need those type of men and women. But our hearts have lost the desire to serve God with all of our hearts and to be willing to lay ourselves upon the altar and be that living sacrifice that God would have us to be. And yet Jonathan was a constant friend to David. And when David was in great peril, Jonathan went to him into the woods. He found him and he encouraged him and he strengthened him. You know, folks, Jonathan is not a bad man to pattern our life after. And not in the sense of just patterning our life after a man, but Jonathan was God's man. He was a loyal and faithful and meek man, but he also was a covenant maker. He was a peacemaker. He was an advocate, and he was an intercessor for David. And I don't have time to expand the life of Jonathan today, but it would do us well to study the life of Jonathan and to see how he lived his life in the shadows of his father Saul and in his dear friend David. Jonathan, a constant friend, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the danger to his own life, he was willing to be a good friend. You know what, graduates? There's going to be a time that you're going to have to make decisions. What's best for me or what's best for others? What's best for me or what God would have me to do? And you're going to have to make some decisions about serving the Lord and yielding your heart. And you know, for the immediate, it may be the best to choose for me. We live in that society today. Let's get me happy. Let's please me. Let's do for me. But you know what? I'm so glad that God did not have that heart concerning His only begotten Son. He was willing to give the best that He had for lost sinners. And He gave His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we study the life of dear Jonathan in the Scriptures, we see pictures and shadows and types of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think of the passage in Proverbs 27:17, where the Bible says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends." What are you going to sharpen in your life, seniors, graduates? Are you going to sharpen the lives of others because of what God has blessed and given you? You have had a privilege to be in a Christian school. Your education is based upon the foundations of God's Word. When you study math, when you study physics or chemistry or whatever you have studied, you have had the privilege to study it based upon the foundation of God's Word, that God created all things, law, order, and design. Are you going to use that to sharpen others? Are you going to use that to encourage others in the things of Christ? The Bible says that Jonathan strengthened the hand of David. How did he do that? By finding him, by seeking him out. I thought as the young people were putting on the drama, how these great pastors and missionaries went to faraway places to carry the gospel. But you know what? God may not call us to a faraway place, maybe to our next door neighbor, maybe the place where we work. But Jonathan found David, and he strengthened his hands. And you know what? Jonathan had to sacrifice to do it. His life was in peril. What in the world if Saul had called him with David? He would have killed him too. He had already tried to kill David back in 1 Samuel chapter 20. But he was willing to sacrifice and to give to help strengthen the hand of David. And you know what? The Bible will tell us that Jonathan made a covenant with David. You know what, folks? A covenant. And it was a one-sided covenant at the beginning. We looked at that last night. When David had nothing, Jonathan took all that he had, his royal robe, his arrows, his bow, his sword, his girdle, and he gave them to David, who had nothing, the poor shepherd boy. And you know what? Not only did Jonathan sacrifice, Jonathan gave completely of himself, of his things, of his goods, that he might strengthen the hand of David in the Lord. And listen, Jonathan did it to the expense of his own self, because he would have been in the order of kings the next king. Saul was his dad, and then if Saul passed off the scene, then Jonathan would have been next in line. But Jonathan was a discerning man, and he knew David had been chosen of God. And he supported David, and he loved David, and he made a covenant with David, and he sacrificed that God's will would be done in David's life. Jonathan was a man that stood behind the scenes, but what a man he was. Not only that, Jonathan was a faithful man. You know, when I think of Jonathan and how he died, I think it is a sad thing. Jonathan was an encourager. He went to strengthen David's hands in the things of the Lord. And yet, Jonathan was a faithful son. I admire Jonathan. I'm amazed at Jonathan. Jonathan was a man of wisdom and a man of discernment. So many things that we can draw out about Jonathan. But here is Saul, Jonathan's father, at war with David, seeking to kill him. Matter of fact, and yet we find that Jonathan was supportive of his father, not in seeking to kill David, but whenever Israel went to war, Saul led Israel into war, Jonathan was right there fighting beside his father. He was a faithful son. Matter of fact, if you stake and study the life of Jonathan, you're going to find that when he went to his dad, he tried to communicate with his dad. He tried to encourage his own dad to do right. Matter of fact, Jonathan once told David, "My dad won't do anything great or small without telling me." Jonathan had even the confidence of his dad. You know, sometimes we get between two people and we feel like we have to choose. Sometimes we have to choose this one or that one. Let's don't do that. Listen, choose to serve God. God will make the crooked path straight. Do what is right based upon the Word of God, and you will not fail in your life. You will be successful. And Jonathan would die in the battle with his dad. Matthew Henry made this statement about Saul and Jonathan. He said Saul would die as a fool, but Jonathan died as an honorable man. He was loyal to his dad. When it was time to go to war, when it was time to stand for Israel, he went. But he also discerned that David was a good man, and he loved David with all of his soul, with all of his heart. And he made a covenant with David, and he gave his heart to David. And he knew that David was God's anointed, and he was going to support David at all cost. And yet he was loyal to his dad. He was a tremendous man. And I believe he was a man that loved God and followed the Lord. And for him to have been able to strengthen David in the things of God, Jonathan must have knew the Lord. Now, I want to close with a word over in the book of Romans in chapter 14. Again, this past few days, my wife and I have had a chance to be together a lot more than we usually are at home in our ministry. And she was sharing and we were talking about some things, and she brought this verse to my heart. And I want to leave it with the graduating class today. In the book of Romans, in chapter 14, verse 17, the Bible says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." What kingdom are you seeking today? You know what? We all have a desire for righteousness. Sometimes we get confused. We want our own righteousness. We want our own rights. And we want to do it our own way, and we think that's the best way. We want joy and peace. And listen, folks, these are the things that men are striving for today. But very few have found it biblically. What we need is the righteousness of Christ through the saving work of Jesus Christ in our life. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do you know you're on your way to hell? And folks, I don't mean to be mean-spirited. There's only one way of hope. There's only one way of hope eternally. There's only one way of eternal life, and that is through Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And He saves us through His grace by faith. Dear class, do you know the righteousness of God in your life because you've been saved? And here again, I don't know you, dear people. But then again, there is peace. Oh, the world is seeking peace today. And you know, just because there's not a war doesn't mean there's peace. There can be the absence of war and still no peace. You can live your life and gain the whole world and have all that the world has to offer and still have no peace. There's only one peace that comes through Jesus Christ that brings a peace in a time of storm, in a time of trouble, in a time of gladness. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, and then joy. We all want to have joy. Sorrow is something that we do not desire, but we want joy. Well, whose joy are you going to seek? The world's or the Lord's? And you see what, folks? Whatever you seek in the world is temporal. But what you seek for the Lord is eternal. And it comes down to the bottom line is this. You've been in a Christian school. You have heard the things of God. The drama that you brought this afternoon was precious. It blessed my heart. I appreciate it. I thank God for it. It convicted me of my own life. But do you mean it? Has it struck a chord in your own soul? And young people, my plea to you and to these graduates and the rising seniors of the junior class and all of the other students that are here today, will you commit? Will you surrender your heart to Christ to serve and please Him that you might strengthen others in the hand and by the hand of God Almighty? Father, I pray that these words have been words that were pleasing to you first and foremost. Lord, the instrument is weak that brought the message to these dear people today. But Lord, you are strong. and you are able to do with any heart as you choose. And I pray for these three seniors that are graduating this afternoon. What a joy. What a privilege, a blessing. They've worked hard. They've earned their credentials. And now they're going to move on in the next phase of their life. God, may you grab hold of them. May you mold and turn and bend their heart for you. And God, may in the weeks, the months, and the years ahead, we hear of good things of Christ because these seniors gave their hearts to you. Bless them today, O God, and meet the needs of their life. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.